Our study this evening and our message is taken from Psalm 94. And I'm entitling the message from the words that I pointed out a few moments ago in verse 14, where it says, "The Lord will not cast off his people. The Lord will not forsake his people. He will not cast out his people." Now, who are these people? Who are these people? They're his people. He chose them. When did he choose them? Well, he chose them from all eternity. We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath chosen you unto salvation. They're the Lord's people. They're called over here in the next psalm, Psalm 95, verse 7. They're called the people of his pasture. I like that, don't you? The people of his pasture. They're called the sheep of his hand. They're his people. The Lord will not cast off his people. He bought them. He redeemed them. He's going to have what he bought. He's going to take home all those that he purchased with his own blood. Now, considering this thought, a way of introduction, the Lord will not cast off his people. I ask this question. Well, how secure is the believer in Christ Jesus? How secure is that believer resting in, rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is his salvation certain and sure, or is his salvation something that he may have one day and lose the next? How secure is that believer resting in Christ Jesus? Well, let me tell you how secure a believer is in Christ Jesus. Secure as the Lord Jesus Christ is enthroned in glory. Now, who's going to unseat him? Who's going to push the Lord Jesus Christ off his throne? Can anyone usurp his authority or push him off his throne? That's how secure the believer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're enthroned and seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. God will never dethrone the Son. Even so, those in Christ cannot be forsaken, cannot be cast out. Every believer, then, according to this book we call the Bible, is vitally and actually and virtually united and made one with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that inseparable union, an intimate union with Christ that can never be dissolved. Our Lord said, "I and my Father, we are one." Even so, the Lord Jesus Christ and his body, his bride, his church, they are one together. Our Lord said in John 10, "No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." How secure is a believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, don't turn, but let me just read it to you. This is found in John 17. He says, "I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Inseparable union of love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that ought to give us some rest, some peace, and some assurance, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, evidently, when this psalm was given, it was during a time of great persecution of the Lord's people, the Lord's church. For we read of the enemy here that speaks hard things against God's people. And the Lord, in this time of persecution, gave this word of assurance to us that the enemies of the Lord's church do not go unnoticed, do they? And in due time, the Lord will cut them off, as it says down there in verse 23. There is a day appointed in which the Lord will judge all men in Christ Jesus. There's a day appointed. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, what? Judgment. Judgment. There's a day coming of separation when the Lord will gather the sheep and the goats, and he will do the separating. There's a day coming when he will separate the goats from the sheep, the tares from the wheat. There's a day coming of separation. Now, it's not for us to try to separate. That's our Lord said, leave them alone. I'll take care of that business. I'll take care of that business. But when this psalm was given, believers were undergoing persecution for taking a stand against the ungodly. Now, in verses 1 down through verse 7, we read about the cry of the believer unto the Lord to intercede for us. You know, this is a wise thing to do. When in trouble, when in heartache, when the enemies of the gospel keep pounding and pounding and pounding on us and speak hard things, untrue things against us, it's a good thing to cry unto the Lord to intercede for us against those who hate God and hate the gospel. And because they hate God and because they hate the gospel, they'll hate you. Our Lord said, if they hated me, mark it down, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, now mark it down, they'll persecute you. You take a stand in this day, a public stand, a firm stand for the gospel of God's grace. And the enemies of God will come against you. They'll come against you and they'll try to rattle you and discourage you and persecute you. But it's not our place to take vengeance on them. The Lord will take care of them in due time. Now, it's best when vengeance needs to be taken against the enemies of God that we submit their punishment to the hand and power of Almighty God, of our wise God. You see, we need to learn this. I've been guilty of this. Our wrath and our vengeance and our revenge does not work the righteousness of God. It says that in James chapter 1. His wrath, his holy wrath, his holy anger, his holy vengeance always does. Always does. You see what it says there in verse 1? O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, shine forth. Show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render reward to the proud. Lord, how long? How long? How long? Till God sees fit, shall they speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces the people. They afflict your heritage. They slay the widow. The stranger. They murder the fatherless, the orphan. And yet they say the Lord doesn't know. The Lord doesn't see. Now, vengeance. Let's turn over here. There's a scripture I've got jotted down here in Romans 12. Turn over there. Vengeance belongeth to the Lord. We're to cry unto the Lord. When we maybe think that vengeance need to be taken, let's submit that unto the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if the enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Now, what do we feed the enemy?
The bread of life.
Give him the gospel. If he's hungry, feed him. Feed him the gospel. If he's thirsty, give him the drink. For in doing so, in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Coals of warmth and kindness. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Give him the gospel. Don't whip up on folks. Now, like I say, I've been guilty of this, trying to learn not to do those things. Vengeance belongs unto the Lord. Now, we're to preach the gospel. We're to continually preach the gospel. Feed the sheep of Christ. And the Lord will take care of those who oppose God's gospel. Now, it's a mark of growth in grace. Now, you listen to me. I've been around a little bit. And I'm not a novice here. It's a mark of growth in grace to take our burdens and cares unto the Lord and leave them in His hand. Turn back here to Psalm 55. Remember this. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I've got this written on a little piece of paper stuck on my computer screen that somebody sent to me during the flood of 2010. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The Lord will not cast us off. Now, mark it down. Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, we sing that song, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there, and leave them there. And what we often do, we take our burdens to the Lord and then carry them on home with us. Carry them around the rest of the week. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there, casting all thy burdens upon the Lord. And we all have these things. We can be assured of this, as it says there in verse 2, thou, judge of the earth, shall render a reward to the arrogant and ignorant, proud sinner who hates God, God's people, and the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Abraham said, the judge of all the earth, he'll do right. He will do right. Now look at verse 7. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see. Yet they say, neither shall the God of Jacob. He really doesn't care about the Lord's people. They say, the enemy says, God won't see it. He won't regard it. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The enemies of the gospel, enemies of God, they may think they will get away with such wickedness, thinking that the Lord does not care for his sheep, that the Lord does not know, that the Lord does not see. But how wrong they are. The Lord does hear. The Lord does see. The Lord does know. And as it says in verse 23, he shall bring upon them their own iniquity. The wages of sin is death. And he'll cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord will do this. There's a day coming. A day of judgment's coming. Turn over here to 2 Thessalonians. We read about it when the Lord returns, when the Lord comes back. 2 Thessalonians. Look at verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them who trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us. You're troubled? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Our testimony was believed. What is our testimony? What's the gospel? Testimony of God, the gospel of God. The Lord will take care of those who persecute believers. Now, the second thing I want to look at, a warning to the proud. Look at verse 8 down to verse 11. Understand this. You brutish among the people, full of pride and arrogance. And you fools, the fool has said in his heart, no God for me. When will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall God not know? Look at verse 11. The Lord knoweth. The Lord knoweth. He knows the thoughts of man. And you know what he knows? They're all vanity. Vanity of vanity. Another scripture here. Turn back to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, 6 and 7. Psalm 92. A warning to the brutish and foolish man. Verse 6, Psalm 92. You got it? A brutish man knoweth not, neither does a fool understand when the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed for evermore. But thou, Lord, art most high for evermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thy enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but God does not change. The Lord of glory knows all, sees all, hears all, knows the thoughts of all men, that they're all but vanity, vanity, vanity. Turn over here to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The Lord doth know our thoughts afar off. Psalm 139. O Lord, verse 1, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my mouth, in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. God knows all things, all things. Turn over here to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. The brutish and the ignorant say the Lord doesn't know. Oh yeah, yeah he does. They say the Lord doesn't care. Oh yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. When Saul of Tarsus persecuted believers, you remember what the Lord told him? He's persecuting me. I and my Father, we are one. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of our God is quick. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him. Now watch this. With whom we have to do. We have to do. There is no skirting around this God who is God Almighty, with whom we have to do. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Now, in verses 12 through 19, and then in verse 22, and this is where I want to camp here for a few moments. Six things I see here. Here's the believer's true comfort, hope, rest, and peace in the God of all grace, in the God of all comfort. Now look at verse 12. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. They are but vanity. But look at verse 12. Blessed. Now how many times have we seen this blessed man? The blessed man. Who is the blessed man? Now this world thinks the blessed man is that man who has health, wealth, popularity, education, and a good job. Got the world by the tail on a downhill pole. Who is the blessed man? Well, it says here the blessed man that's chastened of the Lord, that's corrected of the Lord. The blessed man is that man that's taught by the Lord, that man who's been to the school of the Holy Spirit, the school of grace, and has been taught of God. The Lord's people, His chosen people, His sheep, His church. The Lord's people are blessed above all others in this life. He that hath the Son hath life, hath salvation. The Lord's people are blessed above all people of the earth. Now, let's find a few scripture here in the Psalm. Psalm 32, and let's review for a moment. This should be familiar to you. Who the blessed man is. Who is the blessed man? Look at verse 1. Blessed, Psalm 32, verse 1. Here's the blessed man. Think of it. Sin forgiven, righteousness imputed. That's the blessed man. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile, no hypocrisy. That's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. Turn to Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth him, that rests. That's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. Psalm 65. Turn over there. Blessed is that man that knows something about the chastening hand of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he does what? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Notice Psalm 65, talking about the blessed man, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and the man that is caused to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the good things of thy house, even thy holy temple. That's the blessed man. I've got written down one more reference. Psalm 84. Turn there. Psalm 84, the blessed man. Verse 4 and 5. The blessed man. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Are you a blessed man? Every believer is. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's the blessed man. The blessed man, the Lord said, as many as I love, I chasten, I rebuke. And then the blessed man, the second part of verse 12 is, they're taught of God. You see that? Oh Lord, you teach him. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is both teacher and lesson. When he teaches us, he teaches us about himself. Remember our Lord said in John chapter 6, those who have heard and learned of the Father, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Those who have heard and learned of the Father, those who are taught of God, what happened? They come to Christ. They come to Christ. Those who are taught of God skedaddle to the Lord Jesus Christ. They look to him. They come to him. They taste of the Lord that he is gracious. He teaches us out of his word. God has prepared special tools to teach us. His word and his Holy Spirit. And through the preaching of the gospel, we've read this psalm many times over in Psalm 119, where it says, through thy word we get understanding, therefore we hate every false way. Through the word, God gives us understanding. God's people are blessed being that they are convicted of God, they're convicted of their sin, and then they're taught who puts away their sin. God just doesn't convict us and leave us there. He convicts us of what we are and what we need and what happened at Calvary. And then he teaches us that in salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. Have you been taught that lesson? That's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. Now look at verse 13. His teaching and his correcting, you know what they give us? Look at verse 13. R-E-S-T, rest. They give us rest. From the days of adversity, trouble, heartache, he gives us rest. And he gives us rest until the pit be digged for the devil, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. He's prepared a special place for the devil and his angels. Until the pit be digged for the wicked. His teaching and his correcting give us rest. Those taught that salvation is of the Lord. You see, we're no longer going about to establish a righteousness, are we? Are we? We're no longer going about to try to remove God's wrath or to gain God's favor by our doing, by our works. What are we doing? Resting. Resting. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 11? All you who are laboring and heavy laden, come unto me and do what? Rest. Rest. This is the resting place that God Almighty has provided for us. Complete, full atonement. Can you rest in Christ who put away our sin? Oh yes, there's rest, there's peace, there's comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest. We have rest in him. This is a rest. Now think about this. This is a rest that cannot fail. This is a peace we have with God that cannot fail. This is a salvation we have in Christ Jesus that cannot fail. We rest in what God has provided. He is Jehovah Jireh. That which God provides, he will accept. And only that which he has provided. We rest in what? In Christ. Who provided the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? Given of God, is he not? We rest in what? In Christ. The Christ of God that's been provided for us, knowing that all things here, even our light afflictions and our trial, are not working against us, they're working for us. Now, oftentimes we quote this scripture, and I wonder if we really get a hold of what's being said. And we know. Do you ever notice how many times that's used in scripture? And we know. Do we? Really? If we know this, If we've been taught this, you know what we'll have? Rest. And we know that all things work together for good. All things. And we know, do we? If we do, we rest. We rest in Christ, our rest. He is our, we're not looking to a day, a Sabbath. Christ is our Sabbath. Christ is our rest. We know that, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to God's purpose. Rest. We rest in what He has provided. We rest in Christ. He is our rest. Okay. God's people are blessed. God's people rest. Look at verse 14. Here's the third thing. The Lord will not cast off His people. Neither will He forsake His inheritance. This idea that a sinner can be saved one day and lost the next is not found in the Word of God. It is not found in the Word. It's contrary to the gospel of God. The Lord will never forsake His people. We are His inheritance. He bought us. He bought us. Now you think about this. He bought us with His own blood. God purchased the church with His own blood. Now, do you think He's going to just forsake what He bought? No, He's going to have what He bought. He's going to have us. He bought us with His own blood. Therefore, my friend, He will never cast off His inheritance. You know His inheritance? We're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. The inheritance we have, Peter describes as incorruptible, undefiled, that faded not away. Sometimes I need some help. It fadeth not away. This inheritance, God will not forsake His people. He will not forsake His inheritance. Can't be. Can't be. Now we may be cast down, but we'll never be cast off. Let me show you that scripture. Find 2 Corinthians 4. We may be cast down, and oftentimes we are. As Paul said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have this treasure, verse 7. We have this treasure of Christ, this precious treasure of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Paul, why? He's resting. He's resting, isn't he? Resting. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Marginal reference says, altogether without help or means. Persecuted, what's these words? But not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The Lord will not forsake His covenant people. Never, never. He bought us. You see, we're His body. We're His bride. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. We are one with Him. You know, we're called His delight. I've got this written down if you want to find Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. We are His delight. Oh, He loves His own. When the Lord ascended to glory, just before He did, remember the last words He said to His disciples, the 11? He said, know this, I have all power in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then remember what He said? And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. Never, never forsake us. He'll never cast us out. We are His delight. Isaiah 62. Look what it says there in verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed called forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed or called desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. What does that mean? I'm not speaking in tongues now. Notice the marginal reference. Hephzibah means my delight is in her. God actually delights in his church, his body. And thy land shall be called Beulah. What does that mean? Married. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. You know who he's called in Isaiah 54? He's called our husband. He's our head. He's our surety. Now, the enemies do rage, don't they? Who's blessed? Who has a rest? Who will never be forsaken? Who has an inheritance? Of those in Christ Jesus. Those in Christ Jesus. Here's the fourth thing. Look at verse 15. Back in Psalm 94. Look at verse 15. But judgment shall return. Judgment shall return. The judge of all the earth. He's coming back. Judgment shall return. And return in righteousness unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart, all the upright in heart shall follow him or shall be after him. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without work. The judge of the earth, all the earth shall return in righteousness. To condemn every rebel and to cast them out and to take us home and to redeem us. Now, of all those given to the Lord Jesus Christ in that covenant of grace, of how many will be forsaken or cast out? You remember John chapter 6? All that the Father hath given to me, they'll come to me. And those that come to me, I will in no wise what? Cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, believe on him, I'll raise him up at the last day. There's none in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. None. None. There's none. He saved them with an everlasting salvation. You see, the Lord will lose none, and his sheep will follow him. He said, they'll follow him. He's the Lord our righteousness. You see, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He never will forsake us, and we'll never forsake him. We'll follow him. We'll follow him. You know how we follow him? You remember over here in Psalm 85? Turn back over there. Righteousness, verse 13, the last verse of Psalm 85. Righteousness shall go before him. Now this is righteousness personified. This is righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, shall go before him. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? The Lord Jesus. And shall set us in the way of his steps. In the way of his steps. The forerunner has entered in for us, and we're seated in the heavenlies. In Christ Jesus. Now, number five. I've got six of these. Number five is found in verse 16. The Lord will rise up for me against the evildoers. Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Now, who's going to stand up to defend us? Who will rise up against evildoers? Who will stand up for me? Who will? You see, believers don't stand alone. Believers don't stand alone. Who will rise up for us? Who will stand up for us? You remember the words found in Romans chapter 8? If God be for us, who can be against us? We don't stand alone, do we? We stand in Christ Jesus. Verse 17 and 18. Here's the blessed answer to who stands for us. Who will stand up for us? Look at verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my helper, my soul had quickly dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, I can't stand, my foot's sliding. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. You see, the Lord is our helper. Remember what we read in Hebrews 13? The Lord is our helper. He has said that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You remember Psalm 27? In whom shall I fear? Christ stands for us, and we stand in Him. He stands as our surety, our Savior, our eternal salvation. In Him we stand. And when we feel like we're slipping, slipping into folly, slipping into despair, slipping into misery, He has a rescue dog named Mercy. Thy mercy, O Lord. That's probably not a good way of putting that. You remember, but I think about this verse over here in Psalm 23. Don't turn, let me just get it to you. Where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. His mercy rescues us. His sovereign mercy lifts us. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. The Lord is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. His mercy and His goodness held me up, sustained me, kept me. We are kept, how? What does it say? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Unto the last day. Lord is my helper. The last one, verse 19. Christ is our comfort. Christ is our comfort. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. When vain and sorrowful and sinful thoughts assault our heart, I fly to the Lord for comfort and relief. It says in verse 22, the Lord is my defense. The Lord is my defense. He's my God. He's the rock of my refuge. He's my hiding place. Now stay with me just a minute. I'll let you go. For who can meditate upon His... Now think with me. Who can meditate upon His... I was thinking of this scripture over here. Let's read this. Turn to Psalm 104. Verse 34, and then I'll give you these things, and then I'll close. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. My meditation of Him is sweet. I'll be glad in the Lord. Now, Christ is our comfort, our rest, our peace, our righteousness, our salvation. He's my defense, my God. Who can meditate upon His immutable love, His unchanging person, His glorious redemption, His everlasting righteousness, and not come away with joy unspeakable and full of glory? Christ indeed is our comfort and all of our salvation. The Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, and the God of all grace. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Now, remember what our Lord said, when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, when the Comforter has come, He will guide you and lead you, and He'll take the things of Christ and show them unto you. What does God, the Holy Spirit, comfort us with? What does God, the Holy Spirit, Christ in the gospel. Christ in the gospel. It's not warm feelings. He comforts us with Christ. Christ is our comfort. Christ is all our salvation.